Ray Soloway is my guest here on the program today, and the work of her husband, she's now widowed, he died in 1978. This man's work is on exhibit at Bucks County Arts Center through February 24th, and we'll tell people that, it was called the Rodman House, but I believe they no longer wish to call that because it confuses people.
Oh, it's the Bucks County Council of the Arts.
Yes.
It
is right at Alms House Road there on 611. Beautiful old house. It's open from 1 to 4 every day.
Naturally, Sunday was the opening, and there were many people there. And it was of interest to me, and I'm sorry I wasn't able to find a person or persons. She had never been to an exhibition before, and I wondered what impelled them to come to this. The whole thing had an atmosphere of friendliness, you know, and if I may become technical, downright, they knew what they were looking at and didn't need a diagram. That's the thing, because with the things they understood. And those theater drawings, and of course that's just a few of the many hundreds that were done, they came to New York in 1929. And had his studio and was interested naturally in painting. And he saw the Times and Tribune, the theater sections, in which he was interested. And he did the very first drawing of a Hungarian actress. He did it in pastel from a photograph, because he had no access. And he took it to the New York Times drama section, and they were interested, and that was the beginning.
And you didn't have to speculate.
That's right. But this was one thing. And then it was a steady stream of people coming to the studio, kids going to the theater, and it was mark of his completely being absorbed. Sometimes he would be on the stage and a bare light hanging there, and the rest of the cast involved in rehearsals and all that, and he would do Pauline Lord, he would do any number of whoever was playing there. But I think one of the, now of all these 500, one comes to mind and I really see him, the late DeWolf Hopper. Now, this was really a character, and Ben more or less briefed me before he came. He said that his face is blue, his skin, and it seems that he was felled by a fever in his early childhood. And the skin all turned blue. The only flesh color with the eyelids. And at any rate, this man came up the four flights of stairs, our studio skylight, and we were on the last floor. And usually I was interested in meeting most of them, but some, seeing the greater they were, the simpler they were. I didn't like them when they came up with a whole production number, you know, people, press agents and the like.
Oh, yeah.
He came up, I wanted to meet him, and after about a half hour, Ben would say, take a rest. Well, there was always, invariably, there was a portrait or two on the wall, and when I came in, with a very grandiloquent gesture, he pointed to the wall and said, we have met.
Aww.
And it was a wonderful portrait, and that's the one
that's
right.
One of Ethel Barrymore.
Yes. Well, you know, that was his very first assignment from life. And she kept him waiting for a half hour, but when this tremendous figure came down the stairs, it was worth it. She was magnificent.
Yes, the Barrymores were all star presences, weren't they?
They were indeed. Yeah. And Ben was waiting, and there were two grand pianos back to back, and on that wall over there, it was a a marvelous drawing, almost life-size, by Sargent. And, of course, that was one of Ben's great loves. And that was the first portrait that he did. And she autographed it very graciously. There were three thereafter. One is in blackface. Are you ready for Ethel Barrymore in blackface?
Must have been in place. She was in
this. It was Scarlet Sister Mary with the Bose Hayward. But as far as the great ones, they all either came to the studio or Ben went there to their places and so forth. I get to thinking, unless I came to mind, you're young, I am not, but I remember World War II, the frenzied 50s, the septic 60s, and for me, the utterly tragic 70s, because the ultimate Ben died. But I remember a few lines that a poet wrote, and such is fame, I forget the name. He said, it reminded me of this era. If you are clear, you will be scorned by all, especially the critical consistory. So be obscure and they'll throng a hall and gape while you expound your mystery. And I always thought of that because Ben is for the clear. That was, whether it was words or his paintbrush and canvas, because all the others just so much double talking and they're lost.
Ray Power, you said earlier that the people who came to the exhibit, many of them were not people who ordinarily go to
not ever.
And yet they knew exactly what they were seeing. Perhaps that was it. Because there are no gimmicks.
That's right.
It's just there it was. Painting.
That's right. And they could, as I say, understand it without needing a diagram to tell them why they should, what to look for. So there that is.
I mentioned yesterday as I was going through, Evelyn Fairstone, such a wonderful volunteer there at the Art Center, was showing me through. Of course, I love the work so much. But I was noticing, of course, there are many portraits of you there, which says a great deal just for your own relationship. You know, there you will work together on this, and you were together all the time there and at the farm. But also in the self-portraits that Ben did of himself, I said to her, it's very unusual, it seems to me, that a person could see themselves so clearly. They're arranged, too, so that he sees his own aging.
And most of all, he always said he had his self model. He was there all the time. And again, I'm not being coy, but so was I. And that's why three-fourths of my life was spent in the studio. And that was all right because I am not an active person. I could pose very well. And I look at them. The point was that as soon as the painting was done, when it was done, I left it completely. It became very objective. It was just an artwork.
Just as a fine painting.
Now this went on through the years, and as I look at them now, it is still objective. But I did a slight variation on the theme. This was someone I once knew because I am older, but he had an uncanny approach to portrait. Every now and then he would do a portrait demonstration for a group. It was uncanny. He would look over the assemblage and point to someone, never having seen them before. And within an hour, there was this portrait. But it seemed to me, I always felt, that he saw it before he approached the canvas with paints, he knew what it was going to be like, where it would be placed.
Yeah.
It's a tremendous
dance, too. They are simply exquisite. The flesh tones are beautiful. I recently saw an exhibit at the Pennsylvania Academy of Philip Perlstein. It was being touted now. I couldn't help but compare it, since that was the last thing that I saw with this show yesterday. There was no comparison.
There isn't.
Ben Soloway's work had such life.
I've seen Perlstein. Perlman.
Perlstein.
Perlstein.
Philip Perlstein, yeah.
I am no critic, nor am I an artist. But, as I say, after having tramped a million miles at museum and gallery, someone at my elbow who was in the best, I feel that unless you're completely moronic, something must have, registered. And I am not interested in painting for myself. People say, here you are with this wonderful artist in the studio. And I would just laugh, because what makes them think that because I am with one of the best that I wouldn't think of it? However, this is my art, I will always tell them. I know what I'm looking at when I look at a picture. I sound presumptuous, but I need to.
Mm-hmm.
Because after having been exposed and going to museum and gallery and seeing great arts and so forth, you work up a thing of your own. And so I would never remotely interested in attempting painting. It's silly.
Yeah. So, well, that's it. You have it or you don't. And it might have been something that you would develop. But to have been the marvelous partner in this was a tremendous.
I agree that he was really most unusual in his sculpture.
Oh, drawing. We didn't even mention that. Of course, he was a sculptor, too.
Well, I call them the Universal Committee, people who was coming to pass on art things. And one time the committee came to the house, and by the time they left, I had been thinking that Ben was a cross between Michelangelo da Vinci and Hepplewhite.
not a bit too good for him at all. How did he come to be an artist? He was born in Poland.
Oh,
he immigrated to this country.
Mm-hmm. He was 14 when he came here, and as a matter of fact, school and the like. From the time when he was quite small, he just gravitated toward it.
Did he study in Philadelphia?
Oh, yes, indeed. He was 14 years old when he came here, and he began at the Spring Garden Institute, which was very good. And then Fleischer, that was a tremendous place for him to be, and the Academy, and then he was in Europe for a year. Loved France, and just going through all the countryside and things.
And was he able to make a living as a painter all this time?
This is one of the very few fine artists that has made his living from the fine arts. He just wasn't, the money is where the commercial art is, but he was never impelled. But the drawings, theater drawings, began it in New York, and in 1942 we gave up our New York studio because of the war. You couldn't get gasoline to go back and forth, and we came out to the farm to live. And as I say, for the first 7 years, no water, no heat, no light, and when we would have to break through the ice and put a bucket down there for water, let no man mention Thoreau to me.
Thoreau'd out.
But it was wonderful that Ben could do all these things. To build another room with not a pencil or paper. It just, he knew what he wanted to do with it. Beautiful room that he built onto the place. So, as I say, his many faceted talents just, I find it hard that he is not here.
Yes. Was he able to do all these things simultaneously, or did he take periods where he just did portraits or just did landscapes?
No, whatever happened to need doing, he did. And he was always influenced by the subject, as he said. And if he felt he loved flowers, to me,
oh, that he would play them.
They're civilized. Yes.
Oh, they are just... Well, everyone said to me yesterday, now, if you had your choice, which one would you want? So I was pretending I was picking out what I couldn't choose. They were just magnificent.
I used to have a choice or two, but they were sold, so I have no longer any choices.
Well, you're also part, of course, of the overall community of artists here. I knew great friends with George Cox,
a wonderful person. Yeah. Ben loved him dearly, and yeah. He loved Ben. And Helen's, our situations are tragically parallel. George died 2 months before Ben, and that was a great, horrendous thing to happen. And we've been there 48 years, and they came a year before. But it's a curious thing. Ben was one who could keep his work. If he felt that he wanted to finish a certain thing to get the house in shape, we didn't go gallivanting and go out and looking at the countryside, because it was a matter of being there and going back to New York for the weekend, for the week. But the point I make is that when we met Helen and George some years later, it was as if we'd known them from the very beginning. And just wonderful people, and I'm very glad that we'll be seeing her soon. She'll be coming back to California.
Yes, I know. I was a
wonderful
too. Great woman. Ray Soloway is my guest today. And her late husband, Ben Soloway's exhibit continues at Bucks County Arts Center through February 24th. Please, listeners, go and see it. You are in for a great treat. It's wonderful. The center is open from 1 to 4 every day. And it's right there at the corner of Oms House Road. It's right across from the Chamonix Manor. Oms House Road and Route 611, and that's in Doylestown. The program today brought to you by Warminster General Hospital, doing awfully good work in their community, for our whole community. They're at 225 Newtown Road in Warminster. They offer forms so that people in the community can get special advice. Perhaps there's a particular subject that you would be interested in. They would be very glad to hear from you. And they offer these forms, too, on all kinds of different ways to keep well. Their focus on wellness. 441-6600 is the number to call, and you can get all the detailed information about these various forms, when they're taking place. There's usually no charge on them, too. It's a wonderful service. Well, Ray Soloway, thank you so much for being here today. To meet you again, and you must be very proud.
You always were, and I tell you, just this one second,
that's fine. Just talk right into the mic.
If our only immortality is in remembrance, as long as there's one person who thinks of Ben and has his work, he lives. And that the many, many people during the year who own Soloway's feel that the same way. They've said that.
Exceptional. Exceptional talent. This is Joan Stack, and I thank you for listening.